I'm excited because we are continuing our series that we're calling Ask the Pastor. Again, we got a lot of questions, and we've covered two of them so far. The first question was, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church today? The Holy Spirit is God. We need God. The Holy Spirit is God with us. We need Him in His fullness. We want all that He has for us. Listen to the recording. It's out online, evidentlife.org. Subscribe to the podcast. We need the Holy Spirit. The second question that was asked that we answered was, how do I hear the voice of God? We were designed to hear God's voice. And God is speaking to you. He's your heavenly Father. And we can hear His voice. If we're intentional about it, if we put ourselves in a place to hear His voice, we can hear His voice. And as we spend time each week answering these questions, I'm hoping that what's resulting out of that is that we're all growing in the Lord. Are we growing in the Lord as we're getting deeper into these and as we're answering these questions about the Holy Spirit, about hearing from God and where we're going in the rest of our lives? Are we getting closer individually to the Lord? I hope so. And I hope that we're also growing closer together as a church family. As we're going after these things and answering these questions that we have together. That's God's heart. God wants us to grow closer to Him, and He wants us to grow closer together. Because He created us to be together. He created us to do life together, now and forever, with Him and with one another. That's exciting. Well, this morning we're going to answer our third question. The third question is this: why do churches spend so much time and so many resources on praise and worship? It's a good question. There are a lot of people who think, look at all the money that was spent on these instruments up on stage. Many of them are the musicians' instruments, by the way. And on the sound system. And why do we need the screens and the overheads and the words going up there and the computer back there and the sound booth? And we're spending, you know, most of the money in this room has been spent on sound and audio-visual stuff. Why does the church spend so much of their resources to facilitate praise and worship? Why does the church spend so much of their time when they gather together? I mean, sometimes over half the time, singing. I mean, isn't singing, isn't this praise and worship thing just kind of a warm-up for the message? Isn't that what it is? We could do that in a couple songs, couldn't we? Why spend 30, sometimes 40 minutes singing? Well, this morning we're going to turn our focus to the importance of praise and worship. And it's important. Because praise and worship is not just a song service where we sing songs. It's not just an outward performance or a concert that we watch. We don't just come and watch the worship team do their thing and go, wow, that was good. And then we go home and we say, yeah, praise and worship was pretty good. They did a couple songs I like. I wish they would have done this song too. It was a little loud this morning. Oh, I really wanted to hear a hymn. But we didn't hear a hymn. Yeah, that one was a little off. The guitar might have been a little loud, you know, the drummer. It's not just a concert. It's not just a song service. It's not simply a warm-up for the preaching, as I said earlier. Praise and worship is perhaps one of the most important aspects of the Christian life. Praise and worship is. It's one of the most important, one of. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's one of the most important aspects of the Christian life. It's through praise and worship that we draw near to God. It's through praise and worship that chains are broken and the power of God is released on a congregation. It's through praise and worship that we honor God simply for who He is. Not because of how we feel, but for who He is. Praise and worship is a powerful time of spiritual breakthrough and communion with God. And it's for every believer. We're all called to be people who praise and worship the Lord. I'm going to jump right into talking about what praise is and what worship is. And I believe that as we have this discussion, we look to God's Word on what it says about praise and worship, and we talk about really what praise and worship is, I believe out of that, our minds are going to be changed. And I believe out of that, we're about to have a wonderful time in the presence of God, praising Him and worshiping Him as we transition from the Word into our time of praise and worship. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, everyone, shout for joy to the Lord. Everyone, not just the extroverts, not just the people with really good sounding voices. It even says shout. It doesn't say, you know, sing a really pretty song right on key to the Lord. No, it says shout to the Lord, all the earth, everyone that has breath, shout to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him. Look at what that's saying. Come before Him. We're not distant anymore. We're coming before Him. Into His presence. Come before Him with joyful songs. With a glad and sincere heart. Come before Him. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving. Why? Because He made us. We're His, we're His people, and the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Is that the mentality that we have when we come into the house of God? When we come into the gathering of saints? Is that how we're entering our time before the Lord? It should be. And it can be. Well, let's talk about praise. What is praise? What is praise? Some of the definitions of praise that are found in various dictionaries go like this. It's the act of expressing commendation or admiration. Praise is to applaud or express approval. Praise is to extol in words or in song. It's to magnify, to glorify. And for the Christian, praise is being so occupied with who God is and what He's done that it generates this extravagant expression. See, for the Christian, we have our mind set on the Lord. And when our mind is set on God, we're just like, whoa! God! He's awesome! He's amazing! And He's done so many good things! I can't contain myself. I've got to praise Him. I've got to magnify Him. I've got to glorify His name because of who He is and because of what He's done. We praise God because we are so in awe of Him. We praise Him because we're blown away by His goodness, by His majesty. So we praise Him. And so praise becomes a natural response of those who are getting to know the Lord more and more. The more we know Him, the more we praise Him. It's a natural reaction. We know Him more. We're blown away more by Him because we know Him more. We praise Him more. louder, longer. We can't contain it because we're getting to know Him more. And the more passionately then, we praise Him. I was at a service, a gathering with thousands of people. And everybody was on their feet. Everybody was shouting. Everybody was clapping their hands. There were people bouncing around, filled with energy, filled with excitement. It was awesome. Then I realized, yeah, this is awesome, but I'm at a Suns basketball game. Seriously, I used to go to a lot of Suns ball games back in the 90s, back in the day. Back when they had a good team, that's right. I went to a lot of ball games, and it was electric in that building, especially in the playoffs, when they used to make the playoffs. It was electric. It was exciting. I mean, people stood often the whole game, especially the fourth quarter, cheering, clapping. For what? For a ball to go in a bucket, to put points on a board. For what? Even if you win the championship, it's wonderful. I mean, my team that I coached this year, we won the state championship for junior varsity basketball. That's awesome. But in the scope of eternity, great. But I'm not taking the trophy with me. You know what I'm saying? How much more should we, the church, respond to God with the kind of passionate praise that sports fans respond to their team? How much more should we be standing up in His presence? How much more should we be shouting for joy and clapping and raising our hands and bouncing up and down because we're in the presence of God and we're lifting up God in the name of Jesus? And He's been so good to us. It says in Nehemiah 9, verse 5. It says, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting." Stand up and praise the Lord. Why do we stand up and praise the Lord? Why are we encouraged to stand before Him and to praise Him? Because when we understand that we're coming into the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, we understand that He deserves the honor of us standing up. When a dignitary walks in a room, what do people do? They stand to honor him as he walks in. Even as a bride walks down the aisle, the people stand up to honor that bride walking down the aisle. We stand before the Lord when we worship and when we praise Him because He's worthy of that honor. He is worthy of us getting on our feet, even if it makes us tired. Jim Cionci stands when he praises God, even though he has crutches and a brace, and it probably hurts. But he stands before Him when he praises the living God, Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's worthy of our standing before Him. He's due that honor of us standing in His presence. In Psalm 134, verse 2, God's Word says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. It's in the house of God, in the place of worship. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Why? Why do some people lift up their hands when they're praising God? Why do they put their hands up in the air? What's the purpose of that? Is it just to draw attention to yourself? Oh, I hope not. I hope not. We're encouraged to lift our hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy of our hands being raised to Him. Acknowledging that He is God and we are not. when we raise our hands and we put them outstretched, what does that signify? It also signifies a posture of surrender before the Lord. As our hands are raised, we give up. It's not about us, it's about you. I raise my hands. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I stand in your presence. I raise my hands. I surrender to you. You are God. I am not. You are worthy. You are worthy of my everything. I open up my hands and my life to you. I surrender it all to you. And I will put myself in a physical posture to display what I'm doing with my whole life and my heart. I stand. I lift my hands. Because you're worthy, Lord. 2 Samuel 6, verse 14. Says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. He couldn't stand still. David would become so overwhelmed by God, by who he is, by his love, that he couldn't just stand there. He had to bounce around. He had to jump around. He had to even dance. If you're watching, again, the NBA playoffs right now, you're going to see a lot of people standing, a lot of people raising their hands, a lot of people clapping, a lot of people bouncing around for their team. I'm hoping as you see that kind of thing that it stirs something in you. It stirs in you to even stand and clap and praise God, because He is the one who's worthy. Even of our dancing, we don't see a lot of dancing going on in the church these days. It's okay to dance. Dance before the Lord. It's okay to let loose for God.
Hallelujah.
Look at the life of King David. The more that King David knew the Lord, the more passionate his praise became. The more he got to know God, the crazier he got in his demonstration of praise and worship to the Lord. Look, he went from a young man playing a harp, la-di-da, ring, strum, worshiping God, praising His name, to that king that would run through the streets of Jerusalem dancing, jumping, and singing. I mean, the guy got closer to God and his praise and worship became more and more passionate. That's a picture for us. That's a way for us to understand, are we growing closer to God? Do we know who God is more and more and more? Is our praise maturing? Are we growing as people who praise and worship the Lord? Or are we staying stagnant in that area of our lives? I'm just preaching it right now, guys, okay? I mean, listen, if we're content sitting down before the Lord for 10 years, are we really growing in our understanding of who God is? Because as we really encounter the living God and know Him more and more, we won't be comfortable sitting before Him. We won't be comfortable checking out on praise and worship and just coming to hear His Word and saying that's church. No! We'll want to be, every chance we get, we'll want to be in the presence of God with the people of God, praising Him, and our worship will become much more and more extravagant and interactive. Look at the life of David, the man after God's heart. He didn't care who was watching. He didn't care what he looked like to others. Too often, those two things right there are snuffing out worship in people's lives. Are keeping people from breakthrough in their lives. Keeping people from experiencing the heart of God and being overwhelmed by the love of God. Comes from a place of pride. Worrying about what other people think. Trying to be that reserved person, thinking maybe that's more religious. It's not true. The man after God's heart was a passionate worshiper. People thought he was even undignified. Read about it in 2 Samuel 6. They made fun of him. Look at him. He's the king. Shouldn't be acting that way. David would say back to them, look at him. He's the king. How can I not act this way? How can I not? I want to go on to worship. Let's talk about worship. It's hard to separate the two. We usually call it praise and worship, right? Because it really is hard to delineate the two. But they are different. Praise and worship are different, but they go together. Scripture doesn't tell us that the Lord needs people to praise Him. Do you realize that? God never says to us, I am looking for people to praise me. He does say that He's looking for worshipers. But He doesn't say, I need people to praise me, because the reality is this, is that if we don't praise Him, Scripture does tell us that even the rocks will cry out and praise Him. His creation will praise Him, whether it's us or whether it's trees and rocks and grass and hills. He will be praised. Now, I would submit to you that we never should let the rocks cry out and be louder than us in praising God. Because we are His children. The rocks are rocks. They're His creation, but they're just rocks. They don't have a relationship with God like we do. We are His children. And if anybody should be praising Him, it should be us. In any other voice, any other thing that would be praising Him, you shouldn't even be able to hear it because we should be so loud and crazy and excited. But God isn't looking specifically for praise. But He has called for worshipers. He is looking for worshipers. It says in John 4:23, Jesus tells us, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. The Father seeks, our Heavenly Father is seeking worshipers. And it continues and it says, God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The reason that worship is different is that it brings us closer to God's heart. It's a form of two-way communication with the Lord. It's really a form of prayer. Some would say, well, which is better then? Should I praise God or should I worship Him? Yes, yes. You should praise Him and you should worship Him. Not only should you, but you get to. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. You get to praise Him. You get to turn all of that excitement in your heart from knowing God into something. You have an outlet to express all that God's doing in you. You get to praise Him. And you have also this outlet to worship Him and to have intimate communication and relationship with God through this blessing called worship. Worship is intimate relationship. Often we begin with praise because it prepares us for that deeper place of worship. But it doesn't mean that worship is better than praise or praise better than worship. They're both good. They're both needed. But worship is deeper. It is more intimate. It's that heart-to-heart time that we get to have with the Lord. In many ways in worship, what we're doing is we're really singing love songs to God. And He's singing love songs back to us in worship. That's where worship should go. When I have times of worship here, there are times here when I'll be in tears. There are times when we'll be in the middle of a worship time, and I can't help it. I just break out in tears. Because I'm encountering God's heart, and He's touching my heart in such a real way that I can't contain it. I've told you this before. There are times in my office at home where I'll be preparing the message and just seeking God. I'm in a place of prayer and I'll grab my guitar off the wall and put the strap on and I'll just walk around my office in a little circle and I'll just start singing praise and worshiping Him out of my time in the Word and my time in prayer. And it's typically in that time of worshiping Him, in song, in worshiping Him, when I just become overwhelmed. Where I'm overwhelmed to the point where I'm on my knees bawling before the Lord. Where my heart is so touched by God. It doesn't happen often. I'm just telling you my experience. It doesn't happen often when I'm just reading God's Word. When I'm in His Word reading it and I'm studying it and I encounter God through that. I encounter God through times of prayer and I hear His voice often very clearly in times of prayer and seeking Him in that. But it's in the time of worship with God, when I'm in that time of intimacy of worship with Him, of surrender and worship, heart-to-heart intimacy with God, that's often when my emotions will become so overwhelmed by His presence that I can't contain it. That's a gift from God. Worship is a gift from God. It's a way to experience Him in a very special manner. We are sharing our hearts with God in worship, and we're receiving from Him. And again, God seeks worshipers, but He doesn't seek worship. See what Jesus says? He's looking for worshipers to worship Him. He's seeking worshipers. Because He's seeking relationship with His children. Not just a bunch of robots just to worship Him. He is seeking true relationship with us. Worship is relationship with God. So let's be those people who worship in spirit and truth. The third point that I want to talk about this morning is that praise and worship provides us entrance into the presence of God. Praise and worship provides us entrance into God's presence. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 5, verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 5, beginning in verse 13. The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison. As with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord, and they sang, He is good. His love endures forever. Then, out of that place of coming before God together in praise and worship, out of that place, then as a result of corporately praising the Lord, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The very presence of God showed up as a result of God's people gathering and praising and worshiping Him with their voices singing in unison with instruments. The presence of God showed up. They praised Him. He showed up. You see that? They praised Him. He showed up. In Psalm 22, it speaks of God actually inhabiting the praises of His people. He inhabits, He dwells in the praises of His people. He comes and He pitches His tent. He hangs out in the presence of those that are praising Him. That's what Psalm 22 is saying to us. When we praise and worship the Lord, He responds, He shows up, He moves, He displays His glory. So, let me ask you this. Do you want to see the Lord?
Yes.
Praise Him. Worship Him. Do you want a touch from God?
Yes.
Probably. Do you want God to show up? Become a worshiper. Become a worshiper. Fall in love with worship. Grow and eagerly desire it. Practice it. Work on it. I'm not talking about your vocal ability. I'm talking about surrendering your heart. Letting your pride fall off. Going all in for God in praise and worship. Make it a part of your life.
Yes.
See God. Worship God. See God.
Yeah.
Fourth point I want to make is this, as it relates to praise and worship, is that when we praise and worship God, we're actually engaging in spiritual warfare. Praise and worship is actually a weapon that God has given us to battle the enemy. Ephesians 6 tells us that we are in a spiritual battle against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We are in a spiritual battle, and God has given us different tools and different weapons to fight the enemy. Several of them. His Word, prayer, choosing righteousness over sin. The armor of God, read about it, Ephesians 6. He's given us tools to battle the enemy. Praise and worship is one of those implements that God has given us to fight the enemy and to win spiritual battles. Check this out. It's in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 20. We read how Jehoshaphat battled the enemy that was coming down on him hard. It didn't look good. The king had to decide, what do I do? How do I respond to this attack? Verse 18 gives us insight into how Jehoshaphat responded. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. What do we do when the enemy comes at us? What do we do when things look hard, when it looks like we're going to be overtaken? Too often we just scramble and we panic. We go out to Google to figure out how to fix the problem. This was a real enemy coming after a real nation, wanting to destroy them. And this nation, led by their king, they fell down in worship before the Lord. Then it says in verse 19, then some Levites stood up and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Notice how they're battling. They're beginning their battle against their enemy, even right now. There's not been a physical sword drawn. They haven't been loading up their grenade launchers, their tanks. I was talking about this earlier, and Ben said, Dad, I think you're a little mistaken. They didn't have grenades and tanks back then, Dad. I said, you're right, son. But it sounds really good. No, what they had back then was the living God. And they had this tool, this weapon called praise and worship. And they used it. They praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. They didn't whimper. They praised Him. Could you imagine? Oh Lord, You're bigger than our enemy. You're greater. You are able to destroy them and save us. Oh God, we love You. You're worthy. We magnify Your name. We will not fear because You are with us. And if You are for us, who can be against us? We know who You are and we know whose we are. We will not fear. Could you imagine the praise that was going up to God? The declarations that were happening. In verse 21 it continues. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him. So it wasn't just a temporary thing. It wasn't like, let's have a 30-minute or an hour praise and worship session, and now we're going to just do it our own way now, because we kind of gave God a little bit of time, invited Him in, but now we're going to go do it our way. No, no. It's going to continue in this fashion. It's going to continue God's way. The battle is going to continue God's way. So He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness, as they went out at the head of the army. So the worshipers, the worship team that was appointed and assigned by the king, was placed at the front lines, in front of the army, in front of the tanks, in front of the grenade launchers, in front of all the military. The worship team went in front of everyone. And what did they do? They said and declared this with a loud voice in song: give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Notice they didn't sing songs like, oh God, why are you letting this happen to me? What is this going on? Oh God, we're so frustrated with You and so disappointed that You would let anything bad come against us. They didn't do that. They didn't. They said, give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. Hallelujah. The enemies at our gates, they look big and strong and mean, but we say, give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. No matter what's coming at us, we will say, give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. Do you want to know how to deal with issues in your life? Do you want to know how to deal with the attack of the enemy in your life? Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Things may look dark. They may look bleak. It may look like you're about to be taken out. Give thanks to the Lord, because His love endures forever. In verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, not load their weapons, but as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The battle belongs to the Lord. And the battle is won by people who praise and worship Him. When the going gets tough, the people of God praise and worship the Lord. Are you under attack from the enemy? Then worship the Lord. Stand up and praise Him with a loud voice. Praise and worship is that powerful. Because the bottom line is this, is when we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, darkness flees. It flees. When we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, darkness has got to flee. It's God's way. It's how He works. Thank you, Lord. As we declare truth, lies are broken and rendered powerless. So we're called to become worshipers. It's point number five. We are called to become worshipers. But we got to be true worshipers, people who worship Him in spirit and in truth, correct? Isn't that what Jesus told us that God is looking for? Worshippers who worship Him in spirit and truth. A guy by the name of Bob Sorge wrote a book called Exploring Worship, and he has this to say. He says, the foremost reason for worship is to minister unto the Lord. The basic posture of the worshiper is not bless me, but rather I will bless the Lord. So it's not about what we think about worship, about what we think about the worship service necessarily, as much as it is about what did God think of it. What did God think? Was He pleased with our sacrifice of praise? When we praise and worship God, we're not inwardly focused. We should be focused on Him. He should receive our full praise and worship, which means He should receive our full attention and our whole heart. Because He's worthy. Now the beautiful thing is this, God is so good that as we focus on Him and not on ourselves, He turns it back on us and blesses us. It's just God's way. He's just so good. I got one more point to make. I'll have the band come up because we're about ready to launch into some praise and worship. That's the importance of congregational worship. Praise and worship can be done alone. I love doing it. I've talked to you guys about that. It's awesome. Worship the Lord, even alone, even when you're alone, even when you're in the car driving to your next appointment. Worship God. Turn off the radio and just start singing to God at the top of your lungs. However, we're called to lift up holy hands and worship the Lord together. You guys understand the biblical concept of one can send 1,000 to flight. One can defeat 1,000, but two can defeat 10,000. Three, if you do the math exponentially, 300,000. Four, what is that, 1,000,000? We keep going and we get beyond my level of mathematics here. But not beyond God's level of mathematics. We are called to worship the Lord together. In fact, almost everything that we were reading and discussing about worship this morning was in the context of corporate worship. Was in the context of the people of God coming together and turning their focus to the Lord and praising Him and worshiping Him. Psalm 22, verses 22 and 23. Say, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. Psalm 22, verse 25 then says, from you comes the theme of my praise. In the great assembly, before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. When we engage in praise and worship together, we come into a place of unity, and that's powerful. We say the same thing. We do the same thing. We're praying the same thing. Again, praise and worship is a form of prayer. And so we start declaring the same thing together. That's powerful. That's the kind of thing that sent the enemy fleeing when they were coming to attack, because the people of God in unison praising the Lord together. We come into agreement, and that's powerful. It says in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And then in verse 3 it says, for there the Lord bestows His blessing. When we come together in unity, there is blessing from the Lord that shows up. So let's respond to the Lord right now. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him together. Let's stand up with glad hearts. And let's respond to who we've been called to become. And that's worshipers. Let's grow, just as King David grew in worship. And he got more and more passionate for the Lord because he got to know God more and more. It says in Psalm 98, verses 1 through 6, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known, and He's revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel, to the people of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with a harp, with a harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord. Amen.
Amen.